Hey, it's Sean.
And it's Bree.
Welcome to season 4, episode 8.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, in this episode, we are going to be talking about the Hose and the Hound in Calgary, Alberta, and the Delta Hotel Bessboro in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And for our paramedia segment, we are going to be talking about the newest installment of the Scream series or franchise, Scream 6.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, me too. One of my favorites this year so far.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Huh.
So, how's it going with you, Brie, with all this warm weather that's kind of circling around us? Maybe not tonight, but, you know, over the last few days and stuff.
Oh, it's been good. It's been good getting outside, you know, exercising, walking.
Well, that always does the body good, and you should always do that. Treat your body good, because it's got to carry you through your whole life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Very true.
Any plans for your summer? Like any long plans, long-term plans?
Yes, actually. I'm going camping in July.
Nice.
My sister and my kid and everything like that. And then again in August, we're going camping again.
Nice. So you're going to bring like a suit so you're like, you know, covered from the elements, the bugs?
Actually, it's not too bad. May is really bad for bugs when we go hiking and camping. So June is not too bad. July is okay, but mosquitoes start to get really bad later on in August. But we used to hike in the winter too, but some of us have injuries that can't handle the winter. So we mainly hike spring to fall, and it's a lot of fun. So we want to continue doing it. And this year, I don't think the hikes are going to be as long as they were before. Like, their longest was 7 hours. It was very, very hard. So I told my sister, no more booking me, you know, less than 5 hours, please. I can handle 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah, I'm the same. And like, I mean, I would be like a beginner in that whole atmosphere of, you know, that. So I don't think I could do like a 7 hour thing, but I could probably definitely do like 2 or 3 to start.
For sure.
You know, and just kind of work it up from there. But like, I mean, the places that you must see doing these different hikes and different areas, I'm sure within Ontario that you're going. So
mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Well, we started just in the middle of, well, right before COVID happened is when I started hiking, but mainly locally. And then my sister was hiking, and then we were like, why don't we hike together? So we started doing it, all of us, my sister, my brother, my kids, you know, my significant other at the time. And it was a lot of fun. And then we started going further out in Ontario. We went as far as like Kingston to go hiking. We've gone to Sudbury. Algonquin's our favorite, so we go there often. Camping, a little bit more local, but we're doing Algonquin this year. So hopefully no bears. Yeah.
bring your bear spray. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
At least definitely. The time that we're going, they're not as hungry as they are when they first come out of hibernation.
Oh, of course.
Because they're all like distorted and hungry, so don't go hiking or camping when they're, you know, coming out of hibernation. God forbid.
No, that seems like a bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm. But people hike around that time and camp around that time.
For sure.
Some people aren't afraid. They just, I guess, they kind of feel like, I don't know, that they're aware enough.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, if you know what you're doing or how to get out of a certain situation, then I think that helps as well. Uh-huh. Right. Or if you have experience, you know, with how they react, and, you know, you're not, you know, being those people that invited over to your picnic table and give you food.
Yeah,
right.
Yogi Bear.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's cute and cuddly, but it still can rip your face off. So be careful.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We didn't experience any, but out of all the hikes that we did go when we went to Algonquin, there was a warning that the bear was in the area literally 10 to 15 minutes before we had pulled up and parked. That's why the sign was put out. But we didn't know that, right? We just saw the sign saying bear in area. And I was like, oh, I was panicked and we just got there. So when my sister, because you had to wait for them to arrive, when my sister came, they finally opened up. So she went in to get her permits and everything. And she came out and she told us about the whole bear story. And we're like, oh, okay. So he walked by, but it's been 15 minutes and he's gone in the other direction. So so what about you? What do you have? Oh, wait, there's one thing I forgot to mention we would be doing is going to see lights.
Oh, yes. Again. You know, again. Because, yes. You know,
that's we love her. Just
who we are, you know. We're lights. So that should
be fun. So what about you? Fun. What are you doing?
Well, as you said, I'm going to be going to see lights. Yay. But, you know, I went to a comedy club the other day.
Cool.
And it was very interesting, very fun. It was actually like I haven't been to one in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to kind of like experience that again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of, you know, going out for dinner, you know, experiencing Toronto.
Yeah.
You know.
Getting back to the normal life that I predicted would not happen till towards the end of 2023.
Yeah, but that's okay. Like, I mean, we all have our predictions and that's what it's all about, right? You didn't bet any money on it, so let's,
no,
you know.
But I shut up.
Yeah, well, whatever. It is what it is. But anyways, let's get right into talking about The Hose and the Hound.
Sounds good.
In Calgary, Alberta.
Take it away, Sean.
Why, thank you. So The Hose and the Hound is built in Calgary's original Fire Hall number 3. It was built in 1906 for $3,000, which was a large amount of money at the time, and it was used as a fire hall, essentially, from 1906 until 1952. When fire trucks became too big to fit through the doors, it was replaced by a new fire hall number 3 a few blocks away. From 1952 until 1982, the old fire hall was used as a community center, then a furniture store, and then it finally became a flop house for drug users and hookers. And it wasn't always a nice place as it is today.
Oh my God, that, wow. What? That's so different.
I mean, it is what it is, right? In 1982, someone got the idea to open a fine dining restaurant. It was gutted and it was rebuilt from the inside out. The brick facade was the only thing that was kept on the outside. An extension was built onto the back and a skylight was added. A fine dining restaurant in the middle of a district that faced challenges, and the place ended up with 7 different owners in the next 10 years. In 1992, the idea of fine dining was left behind, and it was converted to a pub called The Hose and Hydrant. The interior was completely revamped to reflect the historic nature of the building. From 1992 to 1996, it had 2 sets of owners and went through many ups and downs, as would any new pub in the community. As the area became more stable, the pub's popularity increased. In 1997, a retired firefighter social club didn't like the use of the name of The Hose and the Hydrant. They claimed the name was for them and had a copyright to be backed up. The name was changed to The Hose and the Hound Neighborhood Pub and remains the name today.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I'm going to pass it over to you so you can tell us all about the paranormal history on The Hose and the Hound. Sounds not good. The Hose and the Hydrant.
All right. How's it going? So, there are stories of various ghosts that haunt The Hose and the Hound. It started even before the building retired as a fire hall altogether. The city's first fire chief, Cappy Smart, had an obsession about collecting animals, and it said that a few of his collection have lived at the Hose and Hound. The first ghost to haunt the fire hall was a horse, and his name was Lightning. He had died in the building as a result of a fire. Occasionally in the morning, you can still hear the clomping of Lightning's hooves in the front area of the pub, but there is nothing around making the noises. He also had a pet monkey named Barney at the pub, and one day when they were out fighting a fire, they had left Barney behind, tied to a flagpole. There was a family that had walked by, and the youngest son offered to give Barney a treat, but the monkey ended up attacking him instead and caused him some serious injuries. This was the end of the mascot's career as Barney. He had developed some sort of a mean streak by being teased by the firemen, I guess. So they ended up having to put him down and later buried his remains in the front of the building. To this day, many strange things happened around there. They were said to have been pails of baking soda flying through the air in the kitchen on their own all by themselves. The dishwasher turns itself on and sprays the kitchen workers. Even the doors opening and closing on their own with nobody around them. The big pot-bellied stove upstairs has known to move on its own between closing at night and opening in the morning. There was one morning the cook complained that he had found his shoelaces untied at least a dozen times during the first 2 hours of his shift. That would drive me crazy. There was a photographer where there was a strange reflection that resembled a monkey when he was around him. And it has been said that Cappy himself has been seen in the pool room area. There have also been many strange occurrences under the new owners, but nothing of an evil nature. If you are the last one to close up at night, though, you might feel a ghostly presence, but it's not a scary feeling. Well, that's good. Maybe they make you feel like you're safe before you leave.
Well, that's always a good feeling. I mean, I would like that to happen where I work because, I mean, I get paranoid about, you know, oh, did I forget to lock this or did I forget to lock that, you know?
Yep. All right. So that's all I have for the paranormal activity at the Hose and Hound Neighborhood Pub.
Awesome. Well, that was great. So let's move right into the Delta Hotel Bessboro in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So the history goes, so it was formerly, and it's also commonly known as Bessboro. It's a historic hotel in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and the hotel is situated in the Central Business District, and it was designed by Archibald and Schofield for Canadian National Hotels, which is a division of the Canadian National Railway. And it opened in 1935. The chateauesque style building was 192 feet tall and had 10 floors, and it's considered one of Canada's grand railway hotels. When the Canadian Pacific Railway was built, the Railway Hotel in Regina in 1926, the Saskatoon business community lobbied the Canadian National Railway to build one in Saskatoon. Then it was announced on December 31st, 1928, by the president of the Canadian National Railway, that a similar hotel would be built in Saskatoon. The excavation began in 1930. It was a chateau-style hotel with at least 200 rooms. The city exempted the railway from property tax on the hotel for 25 years. It remained the tallest in Saskatoon from 1932 until 1966. It was announced on May 30th, 1931, the general manager of the Canadian National Railway announced His Excellency the 9th Earl of Bessboro, 14th Governor General of Canada, gave his consent for the hotel to be officially named the Bessboro. The Earl and Countess visited the hotel while under construction in 1932. The construction was completed later in 1932, but during difficult times of the Great Depression, it was unable to open. Horace and Sovereign became the first registered guest on December the 10th, 1935. Then in 1972, Donald Dick and Mark Baltzan purchased the Bessboro, and then in 1989, the Bolton sold the Bessboro to Delta Hotels, and then it was renamed the Delta Bessboro. Then the hotel was acquired by the Legacy Hotels Investment Trust in 1998, and in 1999, a $9 million restoration was completed to return many of its historical features back to the original features. Today, the hotel remains under Delta Hotels management, which was acquired by the Marriott International in 2015. Today, the hotel still has 10 floors and it includes 225 rooms and 3 restaurants. So it actually sounds really nice, like somewhere that you would want to go and visit because it has everything there for you at when you're there visiting.
Yeah, it does.
And it also has a paranormal history, if that's what you're into. So I'm going to pass it over to Bree so she can tell us all about it.
That's right, I am. All right, so there are a few different ghost stories and apparitions, actually, that are said to haunt the Bessboro. The first place is in the ballroom on the main floor of the hotel. There is a man that is seen there late at night, and he's wearing a gray suit and a fedora. He is very friendly, and he says hello to all the people that walk by. But most of the people that see him do not even realize that he's a ghost until they tell an employee about him, and then they're like, hey, that's a ghost. There was a large crack in the marble floor, which is directly related to the man's death. He was a former employee of the hotel that received a noise complaint, and when he went and told the people to calm down, two drunken men picked him up and threw him over the railing, falling 7 to 9 stories to his death. Wow, that's horrible. That's awful. It is said that he landed right where the crack is on the floor, so he kind of haunts that area. The second ghost in happenings is reported to be on the third floor. There is not much on who she is or when it happened, but it is one of the scariest. There is a woman that looks rather small and tired, and she always seen on the third floor. Her hair is a mess, and her clothes are all tattered and torn in many places. If you are quiet and stay out of her way, she doesn't even really acknowledge that you're there. But if you make a lot of noise and try to talk to her or approach her, she will run right up to you and scream. Wow. I definitely want to go there now. I'd like to see that happen. So after she screams at you, she'll just disappear. Then the next ghost sighting happens in the stairwell. There's also a group of children that play in there who people believe were killed in Bessboro. They were having, like, it seemed like they were having, like, the time of their life. There's nothing said about what happened to them or what decade they are from, but the guests can hear their laughter and their glee, and when it is checkout time, there's no one there. It's also said that this group of children, spirits or ghosts, never cause any harm to the employees or the guests. They're just simply there having fun. So they're usually just running around like little kids, making noise. Yeah. You know, you probably hear footprints and hear little giggles and the usual stuff. That's creepy in the movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's all I have for the ghosts.
Cool. Well, that's pretty interesting. I really like how everything kind of incorporated that and how that there was not a lot of... actually, in the whole episode, there wasn't really anything that was really a negative energy, which is always nice because sometimes you hear some of them that are really, really negative. So, yeah.
Well, like that one who runs up to you and screams in your face. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that one's kind of creepy, but let's hope that that one doesn't come out too often.
No, you have to aggravate her in order for that to happen. So.
Well, there you go.
As long as you don't talk to her, you're good.
And I'm okay with that. Let's move into our paramedia segment where we are talking about the 2023 film Scream 6, which is part of the franchise. Yep. So kind of how do I sum it up in a nice little, you know, ball with a bow on it? Lots of changes.
I found it, yes. And I found it to be a new generation of Scream movies, because it like literally the new cast is all younger people. Right. And none of them are, they are connected to Sydney in a way. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I like that they've done that. I like horror movies. They've like, if they did that with all horror movies instead of just canceling them out and just did like the new generation of horror of the same monster, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I kind of feel like that's what they did with this franchise. And I think it's a great idea because a lot of people don't like watching older movies. So they like to see new stuff that's out right now. You know, like I have a youngest son. He doesn't like watching movies from the 80s and 90s. He refuses, even though they're good movies. He wants to see what movies look like now. He likes the technology they use now, and he won't watch movies from back then. So this is good that they thought of that. Next generation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because, like, I mean, for me, and I think for you too, and I hopefully I can speak for both of us when I say this, you know, we're so used to the 70s, 80s, 90s kind of horror genre and, you know, everything not so CGI and not so this, that, and whatever. So it is different. I find it different now, like when I go to see a movie, as opposed to seeing a movie that was done then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Well, you got to expect technology changes so much that absolutely. Things are going to become better and better. But
right. So with that being said, like, I mean, sorry to get off on a tangent there, but yeah, I think all in all, in general, it is a definite, almost like a reimagining, you know, in a way. But it also is tied to the original story and how everything kind of comes together, and you know, characters
it's pretty interesting
brought in, and characters have, you know, have gone out, and you know,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff too. And we don't want to ruin anything for those of you that haven't seen it, but there could be some spoilers that, you know, we leak out here, so just be aware of that.
Yes, of course. And one thing I like too is that every time there's a killer, everybody always kind of suspects who it is. And I love that a lot of the times they fooled me. Like I was like, it's definitely that guy or that girl or whatever the case may be. And then you find out completely different. Like I was blown away who the actual killer was. I was. They got me. Usually I can peg who the killer is in all suspenseful movies like that. But at the end I was like, what? No. So I like that. That was good. They refreshed it. That's good.
Well, I think when they can keep, you know, do 6 movies and still keep it like fresh and keep it under wraps and all this and that. But I still really think that they have more up their sleeve that they're going to tell with these stories. I don't think they're done with it yet, which I'm perfectly okay with because I do like
new
movies. And I think everybody else is too, because, you know, you're going to see them and that's the whole thing. Right. So, yeah, I look forward to, you know, what they come up with until it starts to become, you know, repetitive and boring, you know.
When is that? Because I can watch the Jason movies over and over. I don't get sick of it. I'm going to be honest
with you. They're on in my household. They were on today in my household. So, I mean, it's like a background noise kind of thing. So, yeah.
That's so true.
Rocks.
Yeah. Okay, now let's discuss what you didn't like about the movie.
You know what? The only thing that I didn't like about the movie is the fact that Neve Campbell didn't come back.
Yeah, I was bummed about that too. Really hoping it would have been a 5-minute clip.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get it at the same time.
Pay her the money that she wants and get her to come back. We're used to...
Yeah.
She's been there through the whole series. And, you know, the story has been about
her.
Yeah. So you're not paying the person who the story is all about, and you've based the story around for 5 movies.
And then want to continue it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I get her point. I get their point, but somebody's got to give at some point because Sydney needs to come back before this whole series ends at some point or another in one way or another. And I still think that Stu's going to come back.
I was wondering if that was who the killer was, because when they were talking so much about Billy Loomis and she kept seeing him and stuff, right? I was like, everything that they're saying makes me feel like Stu's not dead, because we didn't really see him. He just got a TV smash on his head. That doesn't mean it killed him. It could have knocked him out.
Right.
Right. So, and didn't they make a comment at some point that they didn't find him or something? There was a rumor they didn't find the body.
They didn't find him. They just kind of explained that he possibly could not be dead. Yeah. Just kind of like
that would be an interesting twist, though. That would be cool.
It would be.
I love him. Matthew Lillard. He's so much fun.
He's a great guy. So what is there anything that you didn't like about it?
I think the one thing was just that the main girl, the older sister, I guess. What was her name again?
Samantha.
I think what I found a little bit irritating was that everybody was blaming her. It's not her fault. It was never her or Sydney or anybody's fault. It was Billy and Stu's fault. They started the whole thing. So I found that to be like every time somebody's like, oh, this is your fault, Samantha. If you didn't blah, blah, blah. She didn't do anything.
Technically, if you're going in the movie order, it was Roman Brazier that started everything.
Okay, right.
Because true. He was the one that got everybody involved from the first one with Billy Loomis. And if you're going with how they're playing it out in the movies.
The storyline, yeah. But still, it just felt like constantly kicking her down, and it's not even her fault. Like, it just didn't make sense to the script, I found. Like, if people were going to be upset, then it should be more like, oh my God, I can't believe this keeps happening. What can we do? Instead of, this is your fault this keeps happening. No, it's not her fault this keeps happening. Yeah. Like, it makes me question sometimes when they write their dialogue for scripts. Like, think about reality. How would people really react? Why would they blame someone who was terrorized and abused and their sister was almost murdered? Why would they blame her for everything that's happening?
I think the media too, because of cancel culture, right? So that's what they're all about. And I think, you know, also because you have social media too. So it's very easy to spread something very quickly.
Yeah, and make it look like it's real when it's a lie.
And I get why they did that to kind of further that story along, but you know, you'll see when the movie the movie's out, so you can go.
You'll see what I mean when you see it. But like, I get that they're trying to relate with the times now, because that's the one thing I did like, was that they made it very like everything that they were using would be everything that we would be doing. There wasn't none of this. Oh my God, I have no signal. Come on, there is a cell tower on every corner. How could you not have a signal? Like, I find that irritating when they do that in movies. If you're in the middle of the forest or the jungle, I understand, because when I go to Algonquin, I don't have a signal sometimes. But if you're downtown, how do you not have a signal? Come on now.
You could be in a parking garage. That has a cell tower on the roof.
That's my tangent.
Rant.
So I think that was just that little thing. Like, maybe they could have not been so harsh on Samantha being the reason all this was happening, because I just found that to be a little ridiculous. Like, it wasn't her fault. She did not create this serial killer. She was born from him.
That's right.
Other than that.
Definitely go and see the Scream 6. It is directed by Matt Benintelli Open. I murdered that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Tyler Gillette. And it is starring Melissa Barrera, Jasmine Savoy Brown, Jack Champion, and also, you know, Jenny Ortega. Come on. So, Courtney Cox, Hayden Panettiere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was nice to see her again.
Yeah, it was.
Hayden Panettiere. I like her. I thought she was going to be the bad guy. I really did.
Maybe she is.
It just felt like it, so.
Anyways, that brings us to the end of another episode.
All right.
Yeah, so you know what? Let everybody know how they can get in touch with us, Bree.
All righty. Okay, so you can reach out to us on Facebook at Paranormal Files Canada. You can find us on Instagram at Canada Paranormal Files. You can email us at paranormalfilescanada@gmail.com. And we are also on TikTok. So check out our videos. We have little snippets of our episodes. And we want to go live. So check us out.
So again, thank you for joining us for this episode. We definitely enjoyed bringing you our season 4, episode 8. And we look forward to bringing you the episode in June when we talk about some new haunted places within Canada.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So everyone have a great summer, warm season, spring, whatever. And don't forget to stay